It is time for Over There with Mirella Rostroffer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. Speaking of rumors, rumor has it she's over here, but that doesn't stop her. Hi, Mirella. How are you?
Hi, Jill. Yes, perfectly right. I'm over here, but as always, with a few topics on Europe. And today I'm going to begin with Italy, because Italy is going into a confrontation path with the European Union, and I believe that this could have a huge impact on the relationship, the future relationship between Italy and Europe in the future, or at least in the very next few weeks. So this is today about the budget. As you remember, maybe, Jill, we spoke about Italy having some other ideas than the European community in how to advance the country and how to spend the money, and actually to spend a lot of money. And this is where the problem lies. Europe considers that the budget that has been presented for the year 2019 is not acceptable. It includes too many spendings, and Europe considers that as a dangerous path. As you know, also from the past, Europe thinks, generally speaking, that saving money is a safer path than spending money. And Italy is just not accepting that. This is due, of course, to the fact that Italy is now led by a new government. And both the Deputy Prime Minister Luigi Di Maio and Matteo Salvini, the Interior Minister, are of complete different opinion. What is really surprising and kind of unsettling is, of course, the way these two men interact with the rest of Europe, not hesitating to make jokes that are maybe at that level not exactly acceptable. So the confrontation is sometimes with the Commission chief, Jean-Claude Juncker, even some jokes about the rumors saying that he drinks maybe a little bit more than what he should. So they don't hesitate to use this kind of rumors to make their point in making jokes, as I said, that are unexpected on that level of politics. What is also noticeable is that while Italy has a finance minister, his name is Giovanni Tria, he basically goes back and forth from Italy to Brussels, but when it comes to big statements, when it comes to confrontation, then you can be sure that it's always the two other men, Matteo Salvini and Luigi Di Maio. Obviously, it's kind of normal that every country has a different way of seeing their future, and there must be also some freedom in how to apply what one believes in order to advance. a country. But the thing is that when for the countries that belong to the European Union, there have been agreements. And they have been agreement that have been signed, and it's in a way very difficult to just suddenly say okay, we don't care if our deficit is bigger than anticipated, and we don't care if we don't really keep our promise on the different budget agreements. That is an attitude that is of course difficult to keep if one has committed to something. The bottom line is that a new revised budget is expected during this week, that the European Union expects, of course, that Italy will include some revisions according to their criticism, and we'll see what stand Italy takes with that, considering the kind of comments that have been going back and forth. There is the possibility of a non-agreement. Juncker also talked about the possibility to send some inspectors in Italy to watch out for the budget. That has been definitely refused and also joked about. Italy does not, at the present moment, accept any of those suggestions. Let's not forget that Italy is also the country after Greece that is the most problematic in terms of financial budget, with the big difference, though, that Greece was problematic for Europe, but the size of Greece was not a real major threat, while Italy, due to its size in Europe, would be definitely a major threat. And that's the reason why this financial budget have definitely to be agreed upon and not laughed at, like Italy seems to do right now. Luckily, experience shows that even in times of media confrontation and I said, you said, etc., at the end of the day, it is in the in the interest of both parties to actually find a compromise. I will be able to tell you more about this next week. The other topic that I wanted to shortly talk about is, of course, the big commemoration of marking 100 years since end of First World War. Events have taken place all over Europe to commemorate those 100 years. That was a very bloody war. About 10 million soldiers lost their lives, and leaders from all countries have paid tribute and have attended this kind of different commemorations in different countries, but obviously mainly in France. Now, beyond this commemoration, what I would like to quickly talk about is the fact that let's think about making something positive about such commemoration and not something just for the sake of commemorating. Let's think about the time that we are living in and the fact that some leaders want to reinforce the NATO. Some other leaders want to eventually create a European military force. We are watching rises of nationalism and extremism in many parts of the world. We are facing this so-called fake news, rumors of all kind, internet campaigns that aim to destroy major players and minor one, because sometimes it just only touches private people. We have hackers on several levels for hacking all sorts of, having all sorts of possible targets, banks, corporation, pharmaceutical companies, to just name a few among many others. So the point is, if we really want to not have commemoration of that kind anymore, I think it would be time to maybe think of all of this, to maybe also change a little bit the way we talk to each other, the way politicians talk to each other, and come to a more decent and a civilized way to interact with each other. Because talking with different people, I realized that the fear of war, the fear of conflict in the future is there. And I think that times of commemoration is are perfect times to maybe think about how to avoid the next one.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.